Oh, do please be seated. I'm actually going to spend a few moments thinking about that slightly long reading from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 13, which you can find on page 13. Not a coincidence, of the New Testament part of your Bible, so you might find that helpful to look at. Matthew chapter 13, and it's on page 13 of the New Testament part of your Bible. Let me pray. Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." Pray, Lord, that we'd have the right ears to hear this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as a child of the 1980s, it was always very exciting to me to go into my primary school classroom and behold the glory of the school TV standing proudly at the front of the room, wheeled in, especially for the lesson about to begin. And whether the video we were going to watch was about the history of sand or a day in the life of a cardboard box factory, we all knew we were in for a thrilling half an hour. It was going to be great. These are the days when TV was still rather exciting. But of course, the excitement wasn't guaranteed. Not because the programme might be boring. Of course, the programme was going to be boring. Excitement wasn't guaranteed because the TV might not work. So the question we all thought, is it going to work? We held our breath as a teacher made her way over to the TV and fumbled around with it for a while, trying to make the video player connect to the TV to no avail. So she motioned over to the nerdiest kid in the class. "Come over and help me. Surely he'll be able to understand it." After a minute of him trying, he was sent off to find a male teacher. These were the days when it was still assumed that a man would know how to fix a TV. Not particularly accurate, is it? Now, it's definitely a child who knows how to fix a TV. Anyway, male teacher wouldn't be able to do it either. So with a great sigh of disappointment, the school TV would be wheeled out of the room, maybe to appear again next term. It's not working. That's the big problem. And that's a fear many Christians have about the kingdom of God. Life as a disciple of Jesus, sometimes it seems like it's not really working. Living as a follower of Jesus, living as though he's in charge and we are not. Sometimes it feels like life isn't really working out for us when we've made that choice. The promises Jesus makes to grow his church, and we don't see that. So we think, well, maybe it's not working. Maybe it's not right after all. Maybe it's all wrong. The promise that when someone hears the word, they might be excited by it and changed by it. And yet we see that not happening. And we think, well, is this really working? Is it really true? It's easy to be discouraged. We're not sure if Jesus really is the king because people seem to reject Jesus as the king. We're not sure if the gospel message about Jesus really is good news because some people hear it and don't perceive the good news in it. So the big question to ask ourselves is it working? Is it really working? And that's a question that the parables of Matthew chapter 13, parables of the kingdom, stories about a sower who went out to sow the seed, stories of a merchant who found the priceless pearl, stories about the grain of the seed of a mustard tree growing and growing and growing, the story of the wheat and the tares. Those are stories to answer a question about the kingdom, whether it's really, really working or not. The question perhaps we often ask ourselves, perhaps particularly when people hear the word and we think that's very convicting, but nothing seems to happen. Is it really working? Imagine it's the Christmas carol service. Okay, that takes quite a lot of imagination on a day like today, and perhaps you don't want to imagine that. You're trying to push away any thoughts of Christmas at the moment. Let's just imagine with me for a moment it's the Christmas carol service. And you know what it's like. It's been hard work. Everyone's worked very hard to decorate the church, to do the flowers and to put out loads of candles. The choir's been practicing for ages. We've solved the great controversy about whether to serve mince pies or stollen after the service, and the even greater controversy about whether to provide Lidl Glühwein or Sainsbury's Taste the Difference mulled wine after the service. We've settled for the compromise of serving Lidl Glühwein, but putting it in glass jars so no one can really tell that's what it is and what a cheapskate church we really are. Anyway, everything's ready. The vicar's prepared his sermon and he thinks it's great. It's winsome, it's witty, it's articulate, it challenges people and invites them to consider following Jesus Christ. It's not just the vicar who thinks that about the sermon, actually. The congregation of regular church members thinks the same. They put their reputation at risk to invite some non-Christian friends along to the carol service. And there was always a feeling of anticipation. Is this service going to be cringeworthy or not? Am I going to feel embarrassed after this service? But when they hear the quality of the music and the quality of the talk, they think this is brilliant. I can't wait to find out what my non-Christian friend, my non-Christian relative, thinks about this, because it's so clear and it's so good. And it's great that it was good, because that day there were four non-Christians present in the church. Four non-Christians who'd never been to church before. There's Chloe, there's Sarah, there's Gregory, and there's Felix. And they all respond to the service in different ways. When Chloe's Christian friend caught up with her after the service a week or so later, excited to hear about how she felt about coming to church, she was so discouraged when Chloe couldn't seem to remember anything from what she'd heard in church. Oh, I liked the joke about the Christmas tree, the vicar told. That's the best she could offer in terms of feedback. It seems like it had gone in one ear and out the other. No engagement at all. Sarah, on the other hand, she thought the service was brilliant. And she started saying, well, you know, I can't believe that I've missed this all of my life. I can't believe I haven't been coming to church. This is fantastic. And Sunday after Christmas, there she was, sitting right at the front of church, ever so excited. She stayed for coffee afterwards and got into a great conversation with people. She seemed to love it. But was nowhere to be seen the next week, or the week after that, or the week after that. Gregory loved it as well, too. He said, I can't believe I've been missing this all of my life. And for the next couple of months, he came every Sunday to church. Then he started to come once a month. By September, he was hardly ever there. Felix came, and when his Christian friend asked him how he thought of the service, he was a bit ambivalent. Well, some bits of it were confusing, he said. Some bits of it I didn't really understand, but I'd love to find out more. And so Felix started coming along to church, never quite really sure what he thought about it all, and pondered it. But he came back week after week after week, and by the end of the year, Felix was planning the next carol service. He'd worked out who he was going to invite to come along. See, three out of those four people seemed to have heard the same message, and yet nothing happened, ultimately. And at times like that, it feels like it's not working. The word isn't working. So when they had the committee meeting to decide what to do next Christmas, there were people saying, well, let's do the Christmas service, but let's not have a talk. That didn't really seem to work. Or let's have the Christmas service, but let's just have some of the readings from the Bible, like they do at King's College, Cambridge. Let's just do a little bit of Bible. And some people were saying, let's not have readings from the Bible at all. Let's just make it a concert. Leave the religion stuff. People have a great time and they might see that everything's fine and they'll come back. That was the reasoning. It's not working, some people might think. But Jesus tells the story of the sower to explain exactly what's really going on. So we shouldn't be surprised when people react in all sorts of different ways to the hearing of God's word. Just to be very clear, as we begin to look at the parable, Jesus doesn't tell parables to make everything straightforward and easy to understand. In fact, far from it. Oh, we read in the passage that you'll indeed listen but never understand. Jesus says this is one reason why Jesus teaches in parables. Why do you speak to them in parables? The disciples answered. He says, well, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not being given. Wonderful. The parables aren't designed to make things easy. It's designed to make things hard. So you've really got to think hard about them. They're like a big gobstopper. So if you ever did this when you were a child, you'd win a big gobstopper at the fun fair, and you'd spend half an hour on it, resisting the urge to bite it, and you'd put it on the bedside table. Yuck. Next day, you'd have another suck. It would take you ages to get through the gobstopper. And in a way, then, the gobstopper is very different from chocolates. You know, you wolf the chocolate down, it's gone in seconds. Well, the parable is a bit like a gobstopper. You know, to return to it over and over again, think on it. Think on it, and you'll find more and more understanding as you do so. Of course, at the same time, Jesus had a strategy. He wanted to work with these 12 disciples and get them really clued up about his message. And his focus wasn't so much on thousands and thousands of people understanding perfectly what he was saying. Because Jesus' long-term strategy was for 12 people to write down the Bible and to communicate it and to build the church up. So his focus was on them understanding and not on everybody else understanding. But the story of the sower going out to sow his seed, the seed represents the word of God. And it falls in four different places, doesn't it? I'm sure you all know this well. The path where it can't grow at all because the path is so hard. The rocky soil where it can't lay down roots and so it withers. The soil with loads of thorns, it can't bear fruit and grow properly. It's choked. And of course, finally, the good soil. What is that all about? Well, Jesus actually explains what it means in verse 18 onwards. And he says that there's four ways of hearing. You can hear and not understand. You can hear and forget. You can hear and find it too hard. And you can hear, do, and grow. Four ways of hearing, three of them are wrong. So which way is it going to be for you, I wonder? Hearing and not understanding. Firstly, there was Chloe came to the carol service. And she said, well, afterwards, well, I really loved the joke about the Christmas tree. What was going on for her? Well, Jesus explains, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. See, Chloe's problem was she never really understood what she was hearing. And so the sound of the good word echoing her mind was quickly snatched away. While she sat there, maybe she was thinking about the Brussels sprouts and whether they should be served with bacon or served with walnuts. But she wasn't engaging with what she heard in the talk or from the Bible readings or the meanings of the great Christmas carols she was singing. It's a bit like when you go on an aeroplane and you hear the safety announcements. I don't suppose any of us put down our books and take out the earplugs or whatever and sit there and think, fascinating. Don't want to miss a word of this. Right, so you're saying that that's where the exit is. Right, just make a note of that. So important. We don't do that, do we? Of course not. Because we think we know exactly what's being said, and therefore we don't need to listen. And so many people make the mistake with God's word. They think they know already what's going to be said, and that it's not interesting, and it's not important, and it doesn't apply to them. So it's very easy for it to go in one ear and out the other. That's hearing without understanding. It's what happened to Chloe, and it's what happens to many. But Jesus' message, the reason why he tells the parable of the sower is to say this: look, don't despair. If people don't understand it, don't change the message. Don't decide not to speak just because people don't understand it. That would be absurd. The reason he tells the story is to say that the same words will affect different people in different way. Great 19th century preacher Spurgeon said this: the same heat of the sun softens the wax but hardens the clay. The same heat softens the wax but hardens the clay. Some people's minds are going to be softened as they hear about Jesus, but some people's minds are going to be hardened as they hear. It's the same words, but different responses. Hearing and not understanding, one option. Hearing and forgetting. This is what happened to Sarah. She heard the word, she thought it was great, and she came back the next Sunday full of excitement. And she started telling her friends, I've started going to church, and it's great. You wouldn't believe how great it is. And when she said that, I think she was expecting a positive response. She probably expected them to say, wow, that's surprising. Maybe I'll come along as well. And yet their reaction really discouraged her. The look on their faces was a look of being appalled at what she had to say. You've started going to church. What have you left your brain at the door? Don't you realise that no one believes in God because there's evil and suffering in the world. Don't you realize that it's unreasonable to believe in God because there's no evidence for Jesus? Don't you realize it's unreasonable to believe in God because science has disproved the Bible? And poor Sarah, she heard all these words and she just thought, well, I didn't know that. I hadn't thought about that. And for Sarah, that was the end. She forgot the words she'd heard because there was no root to her understanding of the message of Jesus. So when persecution came, even just in the form of questioning, it's the same questioning I got when I first became a Christian. I remember it vividly. There were no roots, and so her faith withered in the sun. Jesus' message to us, this could happen. This will happen when people hear the word. So if that's you, make sure you get wisdom. Make sure you get understanding. Don't decide to be ignorant as a Christian. Dig those roots down. Read the books you need to read. Read the Bible on a regular basis. Get deep roots so that your faith doesn't wither under the slightest questioning. Hearing and not understanding. Hearing and forgetting. Hearing and finding it way too hard. Gregory was there as well, and he loved the service. He thought it was brilliant. I've missed this all of my life, and now I want to take part fully. And so he was there for the first few months, every Sunday, lapping up everything. But the trouble with Gregory was that the more he came, the more he began to see that this wasn't for him. The more he heard of the Christian message, the more he realized that it was going to cost him a bit. You can see straight away it was going to cost him socially, having to make friends with all the sorts of strange people who happened to come to church. He wouldn't be able to choose just to be friends with the most glamorous and exciting and nicest looking of the church. It was going to cost him socially. He couldn't just blank people from church in the street. He had to be their friends. This was going to be costly socially. It was going to be costly spiritually as well. He wouldn't be able to live as though he was number one in his life anymore. He'd have to live as though Jesus was number one. But most of all, the thing that really stung Gregory was the financial costs, the dawning realization that being a Christian might have an impact in some way upon his wallet, that he might be called to give to the work of the local church or to the work of church overseas or give to charity. And that's something he wasn't prepared to do. Jesus says this: as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. And so Jesus tells the story to us to make sure that we count the cost before we decide to be Christians, to weigh up what it's going to cost us, and so intelligently decide whether we've got what it takes to see it through. Hearing and not understanding, hearing and forgetting, hearing and finding it too hard. That's going to happen to a lot of people when they hear the word. But wonderfully, some people will hear, do, and grow. Because that's what happened to Felix. Felix was there that day, but he wasn't sure what he made of it. He realized straight away what Gregory took months to see, that this was going to cost him. And so he wanted to weigh it up. He wanted to decide whether it was worth believing or not. And it took him months and months to decide that, because it was a big decision. He could see that. He could see it. And so when he decided to follow Jesus, he had deep roots of understanding. He thought it through. He knew exactly what it would cost him to follow Jesus Christ. As for the one who was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. And so Felix went on to bear fruit and grow. His life became a blessing to others, and he was a blessing to the church. Three ways of hearing that are wrong: hearing and not understanding, hearing and forgetting, hearing and finding it too hard. One which is right: hearing, doing, and growing. The question is, what kind of listener are you going to be? Are you going to be someone who listens with great understanding, who wants to know more, who puts down deep roots? Are you going to be the sort of person who listens and weighs up the cost so that when trials come, you won't fall by the wayside? Are you going to be the person who listens and considers, listens and thinks, who returns to the parable again and again, finding its deep meaning, its deep significance for your life? I wonder, what kind of hearer do you want to be? Amen.